Welcome to DI Squared, a 10-part weekly feature of KBOO News. DI Squared stands for Dream It, Do It. This is the fourth in our 10-part series that's designed to put the word entrepreneur under a microscope and take a hard look at what it is that spells success for someone who starts a business. If you're thinking about taking this step, we want to make you aware of the pitfalls in doing so, as well as the resources available here in Portland that can improve your chances of success. We've been focusing on minority businesses, mostly people of color. So far, we've met a black winemaker, a Liberian man and his wife with a moving company, and a guy who escaped Wall Street and got into pest control. Our guest experts have come from the Oregon Entrepreneurial Network and Prosper Portland, the economic development arm of the city of Portland. Today we meet Minefer Murnakem. He calls himself a situationalpreneur, and he runs a business that addresses men's shaving and style products. I'll wait and let Minefer himself tell you about his company and its very unusual name. You pointed out to me that you were an entrepreneur. You had another term. What was that?
Yes, situationalpreneur. So an entrepreneur starts a business because they want to and they have the resources. A situationalpreneur is primarily what African Americans have been in this country. It is a situation that has driven them to start a business. It used to only pertain to African Americans and immigrants. But unfortunately, with the economy changing the way that it has, now everyone is a situationalpreneur because the time of having a 30-year career, it's just not there anymore. And, you know, you go and you work in a company and you're going great. And one day they come and say, hey, well, we decided to go another direction. Then as the situation has presented itself, you got to put food on the table. You got to do something different. That's where the situational part comes in at, because you're not going to be able to find the economical resources to do it. So you got to find a way to do it yourself.
Tell us about your business. The first thing I want you to tell us is the name of the business and how you came to that name.
Well, the name of our company is called Dirty Bastard, the gentleman's way to clean. Smell good, feel good, look good. But when I looked at Dirty Bastard, I knew it was a negative name. So I said, how do you take something that's negative and turn it into something that's positive? When you think of Dirty Bastard, it's psychology. It's a play on words. Dirty, we do natural products, so they clean. So dirty is just a play on words.
I get that part.
And the bastard is just, you know, it's shock value. You want something that's always going to remain in someone's mind, the four lobes of the brain. And so when you say dirty bastard, that hits all four lobes of the brain. Whether you like us or you don't like us, you're going to always remember us.
So you wanted a little shock value and you got it. What about the product? Why would it generally be called men's facial care products?
Well, men's grooming products. So we make beard products for the beard. We make shaving products. As I, you know, showed you earlier, you know, we make the old school double-edged razors, body wash, liquid lotion, face wash. We have a new deodorant coming out called Pit Pit Hooray. We're all about the gentleman. It's a lifestyle. We're just not a product or a brand. We're a lifestyle. Looking at my grandfather's and my father's shelf in the bathroom, it had all these products lined up. And, you know, of course, as a kid, I'm in there trying to sample everything. You know, I got aftershave, and it was always in the back of my mind to go back and do it. And I said, you know, I want a lifestyle. A lot of men today, they disregard the old school way of things. And my theme was, I like old nostalgia things and I like new things. And so how do you take those old and that new and combine it together? And hence Dirty Bastard.
I think you told me that you felt that men today don't have a sense of style.
They do. You know, they have more of a swag. But, you know, swag is good when you're 20, you're 25. But once you hit that 40 range, swag is, you know, it's like me trying to dress like my son, you know, who's 11 years old. You don't look that cool. But class is forever. You know, if you go back and you look at a Frank Sinatra, you look at a Nat King Cole, you know, you look at how these gentlemen, they carried themselves.
You must have substantial investment in that.
Yes, it does. It's called life savings. Because of the kind of products that we make, a bank is not going to give you money. Whether it succeeds or fail, doesn't really bother me. My theme was, as I was telling my son earlier today, if I never sell another product, I've already been successful.
Aside from the capital, what was the biggest problem that you faced in getting started?
The biggest problem was probably the name. Getting over the name hurdle was big, because everyone I went to, and when I told them what the name was, you know, they were like, no, because, oh, that's negative, that's negative, that's negative. You know, in the African-American community, when you say the word bastard, bastard is, you know, a person who doesn't have a father. So how do you come over that hurdle? And so how I came over that hurdle was, when I look at it, what does every man have in common? Every man wants to smell good. Every man wants to feel good. And every man wants to look good, no matter who you are. If you have all those things, you feel good about yourself. You look good.
Were there any outside resources that were helpful to you in getting started?
No. No.
You did this on your own.
Did this on my own. And with YouTube. I take that back. YouTube was very helpful.
What good was YouTube?
How do you make natural products that don't have a lot of preservatives in them? That was probably the hardest thing, because if you look at anything that's on a shelf in a store, it's got a lot of preservatives in it that are not natural to keep it on that shelf, to make it last longer. And so I knew that I wanted to be from a natural standpoint. So trying to find, okay, what's a good preservative, you know, that's going to make a product last. We have a mango butter shaving cream. So it's not like your traditional foam shaving cream. This goes on like an oil, and it eliminates 99.9% of all razor burn as well as razor bumps.
I am assuming that you have a website that shows these products and how to buy them. Is that right?
Absolutely. DirtyBastard.co. Not .com, but DirtyBastard.co.
If you could give one piece of advice to someone starting on their own for the first time, what would it be?
Have purpose, have passion, and have drive, and have commitment.
One last question. If you were going to start again, would you do anything different?
Would I do anything different? Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I always tell people, being an entrepreneur is the dumbest, craziest, wildest, foolish, most rewarding thing that you can do.
And if you were starting again, would you still use the name Dirty Bastard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dirty Bastard. Smell good, feel good, look good. The gentleman's way to clean. Doesn't that sound great?
Thank you, sir. And thanks for being with us today. That was Minefer Murnikem, owner of the Portland men's care product company, Dirty Bastard. And our featured expert today is Sam Brooks from the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs. Sam is the closest thing you'll find to a living legend in Oregon business development relating to entrepreneurship for minority people. From a small town in rural Tennessee to a hardworking retirement in Yahats, Sam has been and continues to be a man to watch. Besides managing the statewide Portland-based network of entrepreneurs, Sam is an entrepreneur himself, the founder of Brooks Staffing. Here's Sam to tell his story and to answer our question of the week.
I grew up in a little town called Bells, Tennessee. I graduated valedictorian of my class, Tennessee, and went to Tennessee State. Got drafted for the military, 1965. Went to Radarman Technician School at Great Lakes, Illinois. And, of course, I spent 4 years in the Navy. And the biggest thing is that my ship cane that's been the rest of my life is I came to Portland in 1968, turned 21 the day my ship arrived in Portland.
When you were a boy, were you an entrepreneur?
Oh, yeah, all my life. In fact, when I was probably 11, 12 years old, I was making more money than my dad. Because what I was doing at that time, we lived on a farm, and if anybody's ever heard of gleaning, when crops get to the point that they're not enough to bring workers in to do it, people just come out and pick the stuff. So I thought it was a waste of all that stuff being there. So I started asking some of the farmers, okay, if I pick, and they said, you know, sure, you know.
Sam, you have worked with 10 to 15,000 small businesses starting up. Our listeners would like to know, what do you think is the most important attribute you look for when you look at somebody coming in to start a business?
That they understand the things that they need to do to be successful. And we said there are five. And we asked, so we want to find out initially, to find out if you need to know how to manage and grow your business. You need to be able to get access to capital. You need to understand why networking is important. You know, have to know how to use the technology. and you have to make sure that you're marketing or selling your product or service.
Okay, Sam, here's our question of the week.
Why is networking important? Why should I join a group like OAMI? I need to pay dues. What would I gain by joining?
There are people who have answers that you're seeking. If you have all the answers, then it wouldn't make any sense. But none of us have all the answers. We have great speakers. This last Friday, we had Bill Wyatt, who's retiring from the Port of Portland. I said, those people, we've had the Secretary of State, with the Treasurer, the Governor. I said, it's great to have these folks here, but this is not where it's at. It's these 200 people in the room that you don't know who they are yet that probably have just the thing that you are looking for to help you. So your job, we do something that most organizations do. We allow everybody in the room to introduce themselves. We have a rule we call the six-second rule. You have 6 seconds to say who you are in the company you organization you represent. I tell them, I give you a guarantee that if you pick 2 or 3 people at every meeting for a year, and if you're not getting success out of that, I'll pay you. So you know that when you break, pick out 2 or 3 people to go talk to.
You heard it here. That's Sam, the man with the money-back guarantee and the six-second rule.
6 seconds.
Sam, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you as well.
Next week, we meet a guy who came from Cuba in 1981 and now sells commercial insurance. And we'll see what the federal government has to offer through its Small Business Administration. And we'll continue to explore what it is that makes a person likely to be successful as an entrepreneur. Just keep in mind that there's no one right set of characteristics for being a successful entrepreneur. But the one word we keep hearing from the people who've started businesses and those who advise them is passion. That's it for DI Squared today. Thanks for listening. If you want to review what you've heard just now, go to kboo.fm and look under Evening News for today's date, or look in KBOO's podcast section for episodes of DI Squared. And send your questions to theroadlive@gmail.com. We'd like to make your question the featured question for one of our shows. We'll be back in a week. Tune in then for the next episode of DI Squared. Dream it, do it. From KBOO News, I'm Tom Flynn.